You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's with AI. Oh, that's crazy.
Can you cuss on this show?
No, you're not supposed to say fuck.
You can say fuck in
fuck,
the show.
Fuck, yeah. Oh, my Lord. You want to sit over here? As I live and breathe, some would say, it's insane. I got a two-for-one special today. I mean, without doubt, like, one of the coolest people that I've met across from me. I love the fact that you're so gracious always. Huh? No, it's the guy behind you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just introduce my boy and his wonderful lady. I just had the pleasure of meeting a few minutes ago. Mr. Carlo Mendez and Ms. Christiana Lucas.
Ooh.
Yay.
You got the name right.
I got the name right, too. I was like sweating profusely.
You made it.
I am super delighted to have both of you on because, you know, I met your boyfriend. He paid me to say that, by the way.
Well, he paid me to be here.
Here's what you're worth.
Oh my God.
Hey, actually, can I get change
in
back?
Bitcoin.
Can I get change back for this dollar?
This fight started in the car, so.
And you know what? I was kind of got in the middle of it, became a referee. So it's fantastic, but... you guys, the name of my show is called Almost Famous, but today it's Being Famous.
On the way to
fame. But you guys have done some cool work, and I know I had Carlo. Let's talk about the way we met. You know, Carlo and I met. It'll be a little more serious. The conversation will turn serious. So, but we met through the late wonderful actor Tom Sizemore. Passed away about a year and 3 months, I would say. March 2nd, I want to say March 3rd. It was close to my birthday.
It's close to your birthday. Yeah. Was it already just last year or 2 years ago?
It was one year in March.
Wait, that was a year ago?
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Wow. Yeah.
And you know what? You know, he touched so many people in so many ways. And I'll say something funny. Some people think that he literally touched certain people. But he didn't. He didn't. We found out he didn't. All that was, a lot of that was bullshit. I'll say it here. The guy couldn't be, like, honestly gracious, very nice in every respect. He's very respectful towards people, and he taught a lot of us. I mean, we were actors in his class at the Harvells down in Santa Monica. Yeah. So he, you know, he used to teach a class there, and a friend of mine told me, hey, you know, Tom, I go, fuck, I used to be his driver.
Yeah.
I used to drive Tom when he used to hang out with like 7 girls.
Get out.
And like, he'd start off with 2, he'd leave the house with 2 girls, and then go to a strip joint and pick up 5 more. And then he would say, hey, Jimmy, you want to come hang out with us? I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll take the tip, though. It was like $50 every time, dude. And he goes, hey, Jim, you know, I forgot something in the car on my way out. I was like fucking halfway down, like, you know, close to my house. Can you whip it around again? All right, dude.
Oh, my God.
So I would come right back. And anyway, we have great fond memories with him. And then later, fast forward, became a student and friend and confidant and driver and whatnot. And so you're working on a movie, Diane, and what was it with him? One of the last films he made?
The Legend of Jack and Diane.
On Amazon.
One of the last, probably three to four movies he made.
And it was insane how, like, he would post stuff on there, and we're like, oh, my God, you know. And there he was, you know, was working. And the idea, he was just constantly working, you know. And he did. That was one of the last projects he did. I think it was. And then... I was supposed to pick him up, and I bought him his favorite latte, and I had it right in the car. And, you know, they said, oh, he had to go to an emergency room, and that was kind of the beginning of the end. But we met in one of the last classes that he had, and your boy and I did I forget what the scene was, but we did a scene.
Yeah, I forget, because I did 2 scenes. Yeah.
You're supposed to be my son.
Yeah.
And then he goes, all right, dude, let me give you, after, like, he gave notes, and he goes, all right, I'm going to give you some constructive criticism, Jimmy, or something. He goes, he's your son. I go, well, yeah, because I thought I'd been in the slammer for a long time. I figured being that I had, I've been cold. Your heart is, you know, hard as a rock and whatnot. He goes, no. Like, the way you talk to your son in the car when you're with me, he goes, do that. And then I think I gave it a second go, and then that was like,
yeah, all right. That's right. I remember, it was your character mm-hmm. trying to connect with me, mm-hmm. you being the dad, yeah. trying to connect with me. And I did two scenes that day, one with James and mm-hmm. one with you.
One with James.
And I wasn't expecting to do anything. He just asked me, hey, do you mind mm-hmm. going up in class and doing a scene? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Sure, why not?
So that's where you're prepared. That's where your wonderful boyfriend, once again, that's another 20. Yeah. we met, and, you know, we connected on so many levels. Like, he was just super cool, super chill, that energy, the zest. You know, this guy's always on, man. You're always activated, and I really enjoy that, and, you know, and it just resonates with so many people, just, you know, that kind of energy is contagious, right?
Yeah, of course, it makes you feel energy like doesn't excited lie. To be around him.
Yeah, but you're not so much you anymore, right?
No, you know, that shiny wore off.
Wait, is she talking? Because my microphone's
no,
not on.
No, I'm not talking.
Is she talking? I come again, hear her.
Just that's give weird. Me the money that he gives to you, okay?
I will, and you know, guys, give it up for Shanna Lucas. She's on The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude. Come on, man. And Johnny Knoxville, which we had a few stories with that guy. It's super funny, dude. But so delighted that both of you guys are here today. I also want to say, and then after that, we like nabbed you for one of our, like, the Jim and James Morning Podcast.
Yes, that's right.
They came my boy James and I, and we started.
That was over a year ago already.
Yeah.
Because that was before Tom passed away.
Yeah. Remember when that is insane. We did that. And yeah, and then you've been working like the whole time. I was supposed to try to get him last week, but there's a person that we have. We'll talk about a little bit about him later because we want to get obviously into you know, like talk shop about your movies. That, you know, you guys just came back from shooting a film. I'll hear all about it. Mm-hmm. Demise, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do today. There's a wonderful person standing by that's been meaning to meet. Mr. Carlo Mendes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He's infatuated with you. Also, I don't know if you guys know, any fans out there, yes, this Carlo Mendes is Eva Mendes' brother, which makes you brother-in-law to Ryan Gosling, right?
Ryan Gosling, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, just throw that out there, you know, you know, for all you, what is it, Barbie fans? Yeah, it was one of the last films he's probably worked on. He works every week on something new, right? Seems.
Ryan, well, no, yeah, I mean, Barbie, and then he did The Fall Guy that just came out, and then, Fall you know. Guy. The next project onto the next, yeah, next, and those little things in between.
Wow,
but yeah.
So he keeps pretty busy. And yeah. But the family is so great, the nucleus, and the way they, I understand, I've heard somewhere where, like, when they go out, they go out separately to the red carpet events. I understand they don't go together as a family all the time.
Yeah, no, it's just they keep it separate.
That's cool.
Keep it separate, simple, no, you know, getting in each other's ways about stuff like that. That's
that
the
was
way
probably stipulated
it.
At the beginning, right? It was on paper.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? Yeah.
That's beautiful. And they have two beautiful children. And, yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. And so you guys grew up both from Miami?
Yeah.
Both from Miami. Isn't that wild?
Well, I was born here in L.A., raised in Miami with Cuban parents. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And then she was born in Miami.
I was born in Miami and I was raised in Miami.
Awesome. Wow. And so is there like a big, I mean, obviously the it begs the question, like, how is it, you know, like pop culture in Miami versus LA? Is it like a world of difference, would you say? Or what do you guys think?
You go first.
Well, honestly, I don't know what it's like now, but when I was growing up, it's a little bit different. It's definitely like there was the LA grow up and then there's the Miami grow up and they're totally different. Like, I don't know about you, but you recognize, like, everybody calls each other bro. Hey, bro. What's up? You know? Like,
yeah, it's worlds apart of difference, you know, especially in the weather, the lifestyle, the culture. Everything's, you know, just very Latin, Cuban based out there.
Yeah.
And you got almost every kind of, like, Latin, you know, Hispanic culture out there. Here, there's a lot more diversity.
Yeah, there's a lot more in LA.
But just in the simplest things of, like, addresses out there is all numbers. Here, it's all names.
Yeah.
Over there, it's like 143 Southwest 112th Avenue, 87th Avenue and 112th Street.
I didn't
even
think about that. That's true.
Yeah, just even the simplistic way of just addresses is so different.
Hey, calm down. Like, this guy's picking a scene. Like, it's like, he's looking like a script and he's picking it apart.
There you go. But yeah, it's just the differences, you know, and then the weather. The weather's the main difference.
I feel like I liken it to, like, for me, it's like a lot like Palm Springs. You know, like, you go to Palm Springs, you feel like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Like, no. That's wait, have you never been to Miami? Though.
I got once for a show I did a long time ago.
So it's even worse than that. Well, it's all humidity.
Yeah.
You know, like, here, if you know, looking at the weather channel, here you get about 50, 40% humidity. Yeah. In Miami, it's 90, 95, 100% humidity.
What would you say? I don't mind it so much. The problem with the humidity is your hair. Your skin looks great in Miami.
Yeah.
But your hair is not
Right,
it's
right,
not
right.
Good.
Yeah, no. Well, and then walking from the doorstep of your house or your apartment to your car, you're sweating already.
Yeah.
Literally. It's so...
Yeah, it's insane. So hot. And so did you, like, were you... So you're in Miami. Is that... Will you put on... You guys just put on these clothes? Like how do you get all bulked and yoked?
No,
did you put on like a... Is that like a, some body kind of suit?
No, or? I just... I walked to my car in underwear because you're going to sweat anyways. And then I put my clothes in the car. There's no way. It's just too hot.
But I'm talking about in terms of your muscles. How did you, like, did you take pills and you blew up it overnight? Or
yeah.
You how many hours?
You don't take pills. You inject them.
Oh, you inject them? That's what they call pumping.
Yeah. Like,
it's an air pump.
No, I've been working out for over 20 years, you know. So it just becomes a part of your routine, a part of your daily life. It's literally, you know, your disciplines. Like going to bed, eating, and then, you know, gym. It's
begs
part
the question,
of your life.
What's it like a day in your life when you start? And I meant to ask you that. The last, I'm going to ask him next time I see him. Well, what is it like in terms of when you wake up, what's the first thing you do, and that kind of thing? And go through a day in the life of Carlo Mendes, if you will.
Wow, okay. So, because I work late nights.
Wait, let me, he's on my pen. I got to start writing notes, take notes. Okay, go ahead.
Since I work late nights, I'm used to going to bed late. So I'll go to bed, you know, on the nights that I work, I go to bed around 3 in the morning. Nights that I don't work, I go to bed around 1-ish or 12. But I don't get out of bed till about 11, 30, 12. That's sometimes. Sometimes I don't get out of bed till 1.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because that's when my day starts. So I'm like, all right. So I wake up, submit to some projects, go through Instagram, emails, that stuff. Once I finally force myself out of bed, and I'll cook some breakfast, we get breakfast, and then within the hour, get ready and hit the gym.
Yeah.
Run a couple errands, then depending if I got to, you know, work at night, rest, go to work, or if everything changes when I got acting. So if I got acting, then, you know, I'm more responsible, of course. You know, I go to bed earlier, I'll wake up earlier if I have to, I'm more excited, I got more energy for that. And that's kind of it. So it all depends. My life revolves around my acting right now, my projects and the things that I got to do.
What kind of shakes do you take? Any shakes?
I don't like protein shakes.
Okay, you don't do protein?
No.
You get your proteins like from eggs and like chicken and just poultry?
So I'll cook my breakfast. I'm not a big cooker, so I only know how to cook 4 or 5 things.
Okay.
Which is just eggs. I know how to toast, bread.
Bro, put it here, dude. That's me, man. My wife does most of the cooking, but totally eggs. I'm a fucking master chef when it comes to eggs.
Yeah.
You cannot like make bad eggs. Like, you know, how are you going to mess up the eggs?
How? So so it's, I keep it simple. I don't eat a lot. I don't like indulging in a lot of food because I have more energy that. But yeah, just eggs, bread, bacon, a couple of sausage patties. Uh-huh. The what?
I'm trying to all the viewership and the listeners that listen to Almost Famous Jim Francis Mesa. Listen to this guy, okay? This is, you want to get as yoked up as this guy is? Follow his routine. He's regimented.
Yeah.
Like at 3 o'clock, I fart. At 4 o'clock,
I'm a Virgo. I'm a Virgo. I got everything. It's got a schedule. I cannot go deviate from the schedule.
So what time do you guys like? Do you like video chat or how do you guys see each other? That's crazy, dude.
Well, we FaceTime each other. And we gotta talk to each other. Yeah,
when we gotta talk.
When we talk. But sometimes we'll go for breakfast or whatever, and then she goes off to the gym. Then I go to the gym.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's obviously. You know, the kind of thing you want to keep in your life, the constant here is the gym.
The gym, it's
fantastic.
Yeah. It's what keeps me in check. It's what keeps me disciplined. It's what keeps me going.
Wow.
Because it's not just a physical thing anymore. It becomes a mental health thing of going to the gym every day.
And were you always into fitness and, you know, like
I've always been into sports. I've always gone to the gym since I was in my early 20s. I would go to the gym. I would stop for a while. Either I got injured, I would stop, get lazy, and maybe stop for a couple of years. I think this in my 40s is where I've been more consistent.
Dude, you're 40?
I'm 45.
Shut the fuck up.
Turning 46,
Dude, honest to God, like, what the fuck are you guys drinking? What's in that bottle?
Yeah.
Hey, so, no, I think you're I honestly thought you're like in your 30s, bro. So,
no.
I'm going to start hitting the gym, bro. Like, I go by the gym. I'm that guy that goes by the gym with the burger and starts eating in front of everybody.
Hey, you know what? You can eat that stuff.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, you got to be disciplined about going to the gym and how much you eat and stuff like that.
How do you metabolize them? Like, think about it. Do you eat a fucking a quarter pounder or something? Like, I eat burgers. I love In-N-Out. It goes without saying.
Well, he loves In-N-Out, too.
I just ate a burger today from Burger Lounge.
Yeah.
get out of town. Those aren't good, dude.
They're good, but see, it's healthy. It's not McDonald's or Burger King. Yeah. It's healthier.
So you're trying to pick on me now because they like McDonald's and Burger King?
Oh, that's disgusting. Last time I ate McDonald's was like almost 10 years ago, and it made me sick, and that's the last
time I ate.
Bite
your tongue. You're a liar. I just saw you guys come out of a fucking McDonald's.
You will never see me at McDonald's or Burger King ever again. Only because it made me sick.
Right. Yeah, no. Truth be told, there's things that I will not say that, definitely. If you didn't see Super Size, you haven't learned shit.
I've never seen it, but I know about it.
Yeah, I know about it, yeah. So, fundamentally, it's wrong, it's bad, you shouldn't have that, unless you're like, it's a dire situation, you know what I mean? Like,
no
you
need choice.
To
have
it. But look, that's the beautiful thing about LA is that there's so many healthy options out here of different things to eat.
Right.
You know, I don't deprive myself of anything. I'll still eat pizza, I'll still eat a burger.
How many slices do you eat? Like, you eat a slice of a slice?
No, I eat like 2 or 3 slices, but I'm not a big eater.
Okay. So you eat and then you don't eat again like for what?
Yeah, so I eat breakfast. Sometimes I eat just twice a day. Okay. I'll eat breakfast and then I probably won't have anything until dinner again. Sometimes I'm a little hungry. I'll eat 3 times, but I eat 2 to 3 times, but I'll have snacks in between. Healthy snacks. I'll have some nuts, some dates. Shit, which I have some at home and I forgot to eat them. Right now. But yeah, you know, just stuff like that. But I don't like stuffing my face. I don't like feeling heavy or full because when I used to eat 3 to 4 times a day, did not have good energy.
Have you ever been fat? Like, honest to God, have you been overweight?
No,
ever,
never.
It's a cardinal sin to be fat.
Well, it's not. I mean, maybe I don't know about that. But the thing is, with me, it's hard for me to gain weight. You know, I can lose weight.
Yeah.
Give me 2 weeks and I'll lose 5-10 pounds easy.
Yeah.
But to gain that weight, that's hard for me to do. So majority of my family are not overweight.
Yeah, I could tell. Miss Eva Mendes doesn't seem overweight either.
Yeah, you know, now the ones that have gotten overweight is because they're already older and, you know, they just eat too much. But
I enjoy being a little overweight. I'm like 50 pounds overweight. But I don't, you can't tell, I know, because I'm really tall.
Yeah,
but it's all here. It's hiding. This is under a 4. This is a 4X shirt. It's my trimester right now. But listen, I want to talk about, let's bore the whole conversation about movies, right? We love movies of actors here. Let's talk about Demise. Well, no. Let's back up. Let's talk about the film 20 Pounds. Is it 30?
20
Speaking
pounds
of pounds, holy shit.
Yeah, 20
good
pounds.
Good segue, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about it? Let's let your girl now. Speak, please. Okay. Not just about you.
No, bless excuse you. Me.
Holy moly, dude. There
you go. Holding that
crying
one
out loud. No, let's talk about, you guys went on not long ago, you guys came back and wrapped up. You wrapped up something you worked on. How long ago did you guys shoot the film?
Well, I just finished my days last Friday.
Okay.
We incidentally booked a film co-starring.
Co-starring?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have any scenes with him. He's one of the other characters in it.
Told the producers she was auditioning.
Mr. I.
Do you want the truth?
Yeah. And it helped her land her role.
No.
She used the magic. No. You got grandfathered in?
No. Actually, it was nepotism. Told to me.
His nepotism.
That I beat out 1,600 girls in my audition tape.
Yeah.
Dang.
Okay.
That's because I put in a good word.
And let's talk a little bit about what the premise of the film is. What, like, this talk about pounds, right?
So it's a comedy.
Cool.
It's based it's in the same universe as I don't know if we talked a little bit outside. Josefina Lopez wrote Real Women Have Curves, and so it's in that, it's along that universe where
America
Ferrera. Well, she's not involved with this project per se, but it's in that vein of characteristics, and they're talking about those kind of topics, and the premise is really funny.
Josefina, an amazing writer.
Yeah,
so it's a dark humor comedy.
Okay.
You know, it's about this woman. Oh my God, what's her name?
Carrie,
yes.
Dang,
who she has so these two lucky guys fall in love with her.
Uh-huh.
And I play one of the guys. I'm like her best friend since like third grade. I'm like a bit of a nerd and stuff like that. And then I profess my love for her at the end where that's all beautiful, polished up and looked all different and decked out. And then, you know, there's this DJ guy she was with. I'm like, he's no good for you. He broke up with you. He cheated on you. And I kind of like, we both kind of start going at it for her love. And then she comes to realizations about, you know, that she needs to, you know, please herself and life, and that she has to take care of herself and stuff like that because she got depressed and going through a bunch of stuff in her life. So it's a feel good dark humor comedy kind of a movie.
Tip off my hat to Josefina Lopez.
But ask her about her character.
Okay, let's see, what's your character like?
I mean, first tell him the name. That name I won't forget.
Okay. Are you guys listening to this? Viewership, listenership? Take note?
Yeah, she's a pretty cool character. It's actually one of the best scripts that I've read in a really long time. Okay. It's really well-timed, really, really smart. And when I got the audition, I called him. I was like, hey, can you help me with this audition? And the character's name is Gina Tormenta.
Oh, my God. So for all you Spanish deprived versus Spanish illiterate, it means torment. Yeah. Oh, torment. And you live up to the name?
Oh, she certainly does.
Yeah. Holy moly, mother of God. Yeah. So that's really crazy. I love that. I like how the fact that both of you guys work. But so what's the dynamic in the movie working together?
We didn't have any scenes together. All. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. We had completely different characters. And it's funny because I first auditioned for the role that my character was going to be with hers.
Yeah.
But I was filming something else, and I couldn't get back to them in time to tell them that I can take it. So they had to rewrite it, and then the part went to somebody else.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And
it would have been a totally different movie.
It would have been. I think so. Because how important, it begs the question, let's talk about that. What do you guys think? And it helps, specifically, when you're in love or you have something to do, there's a different power dynamic or dynamic, if you will, between a couple, in real life, and then in a film, you're together. It completely helps, right? If they're not together, they ought to hook up, right?
Yeah, when you're an actor, you know about substitution. Yeah. You know, it's cool to to have that chemistry already, and then especially when you're doing fun scenes, there's trust in each other. Right. We help each other with tapes all the time, so I trust when he says, "Okay, try this" or whatever, and we did a. Should we tell the co-audition for when he first tried out, and that was fucking funny. It was just hilarious. Yeah. It was, everybody was just shell-shocked when we got out of there. So,
and I love that, it's very important. How important is it for you? Obviously, you have your Latina, your mix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how important is it for Latina, especially now, to be under a good light, the positive light versus in the olden days, we don't have to go through the olden days, but it was a lot of stereotypical stuff that was very demeaning. And now, obviously, I know Josefina is going to write something really positive and smart. And how important is it for you as an actress now, to board this kind of thing? It's super important, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I used to... It didn't really faze me so much because, I still could connect with characters watching them on screen if they were blonde and blue eyes. But it's cool to see somebody that looks like you on screen. Right. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. It's always awesome to, imagine yourself as something, and especially when it's dealing with real life issues or it's with something funny or something cool,
right.
So I love seeing all kinds of different
roles. And you mostly go for those specific characters, right? You try to go for the smart character, you try to go for where they keep where they exalt the women,
I've played all kinds of stuff. I play the bimbo, I play the babe, I play the smart girl, I play the mom. So, I've done a lot of them. So, but I enjoy this one. Last time, this one was really fun because she's mean.
And it's great, right? To play something you always fantasize about doing, but you wouldn't. Now you're getting paid to do this.
Yeah,
this is fucking awesome, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about Demise. Okay, so you had some frontal scenes or nudity in this?
Not frontal, it was side shot.
I'm getting hot. Okay.
Is it me or is it the weather?
It's you, baby. It's you.
It definitely wasn't frontal. It was more like a side butt shot, getting out of bed and stuff like that.
Okay. For all those people that are watching that probably don't know, on set, there's a million people watching you guys, right?
No, when you got any kind of nudity that,
people?
Yeah, they close the set up.
You're like, there's still... Jim, there's not porno, Jimmy.
Yeah, but there's still four or five people in there. You know, the director, probably the producer, the DP, and all that stuff. It wasn't terrible. It was just a quick side shot of me just getting out of bed, where I'm naked and stuff like that.
Side booty.
But I mean... I got maybe seven scenes without a shirt in that movie. So,
dang. And you were upset. You're like, dude, what the fuck?
I was. You know, I was like, hey, you didn't give me time to shave, I'm a hairy guy.
There you go. So is this movie out already?
Yeah, it's already out on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's on all the platforms, Roku, Amazon, Apple TV.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's all over the streaming network.
That's good. Well, I'm super proud of you, dude.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm going to have to. I think it's a great moment to take time to talk to someone that's been awaiting for this moment. And I'm talking about a good friend of mine whom I really care about, my boy. Like, I mean, I remember driving limos and putting them in the back seat of the car. Let's go for a whip around Alhambra and San Marino. Maybe let's go to Pasadena. Jimmy, take me. Tim with the Black Eyed Peas had the studio.
Yeah.
You know, and he loves that. And he told me about, oh, my God, you know. He goes, he was like starstruck, like, you know Eva Mendes' brother, Carlo? I love him. He's just so awesome. I want to meet him. He goes, so his birthday was a couple of days ago. And I'm pleased to have him here. Like, without further ado, Joanne, are you listening to me? Joanne, I have a surprise for you. Come on, Joanne.
Can you guys hear me?
There we go. We can hear you. What's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey. Oh, my God. This is a dream come true for me. I'm a Cuban to another Cuban. Que bola, said it.
Que paso, que paso. Happy belated birthday.
Que paso, que paso. Thanks, man. Jim got me this as a birthday present to meet you and say hi to you. And, you know, we talked a couple times on Instagram, but yeah. We never, like, seen each other face-to-face, so... You know, it's a dream come true. You know, I've seen your movies. I see where you at, what you do, just everything, man. And, you know, you have my support from a Cuban to another Cuban, man. Siga pa lante, que todo va estar bien. No te ocupes de nada.
Thank you, man. Coño, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. And the pleasure's all mine. How you been doing? Everything good?
I've been good. Speaking of Alhambra, I'm actually at the Starbucks on Main Street talking to you guys right now.
All nice. Right. Oh, Starbucks.
Hey, we love Starbucks. Yeah, you know that.
I need some coffee after this.
Yeah.
That place is rad.
Yeah,
so,
it's super cool. It's really lively. Yeah. You know, we're approaching a weekend and then tomorrow's 4th of July. So.
Who?
You got any plans for 4th of July?
I'm actually going to go to the Dodger game tomorrow. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
All right, go Dodgers. Yeah. Having to wear the guy that's wearing Angels hat.
Angels.
I grew up in Lincoln Heights, so yeah, I went to a lot of Dodger games too. And they got Ohtani now. So,
oh yeah. 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 They got the big hitter right there.
They stole them from us.
I heard about your cooking schedule, so you don't know how to make any Cuban food, man. ¿Qué pasa con eso?
He was hearing the conversation. Oh my God, I didn't know
about
that.
What? Say it again.
He heard that you can't cook.
Oh, yeah. No. Yo soy malísimo para cocinar. I only know how to cook like 4 things, and that's it. I don't have the patience or even the passion for it. Yeah. I'm one of those guys that when I don't have a passion for something, I just don't care for it.
Yeah.
I do not care for it. So that's what I'm very passionate about, very few things. And when I do love it, I'm all over it. But maybe one day I can change tomorrow where I'm like, all right, I learn how to cook and be a good cook. But as of now, I just got no passion for it.
So we know who's going to be cooking when the
when
the wedding bells ring.
Yeah.
JT,
one thing I like the most is when our abuelitas cook the Cuban food. I mean, that's
Like, my mom's a great cook. I love my mom. My mom, every time I go back home, cooks the best meal.
Joanne, how was tell them about your trip to Vegas. You had a blast.
Yeah, I went to Las Vegas for my birthday. I toured the Raiders Stadium, went to go see the Sphere. And then I went to go eat Cuban food the day of my birthday because there's a lot of Cubans in Vegas.
Yeah, there's a few Cuban spots out there.
And you like portos too, huh? They made so many. There's like a bunch of portos everywhere.
Yeah, there's like a good 4 or 5 now. Yeah. Lando, Montebello.
There's a Portos in Vegas.
No, in Vegas, they had a Cuban restaurant, I think, of sorts. Huh? Right, buddy? And did you win big? Yeah, you clearly didn't because you came back. But you had an awesome time over there.
I had a nice time with family. And, you know, I have a 10-year-old sister, so my birthdays revolve around her and my family. So once you have a little one, you know, you got to plan around them, too. Of course, you're going to have your time to do whatever you want.
Of course.
You're such a Laker fan. You know, this guy's a big Laker fan.
Huh. Oh, what do you think about Bronny being drafted?
LeBron James time, Bronny?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I think we might win it, man.
You think so? You think he's ready for the NBA? You think he's good enough?
I mean, He's a young kid. He has a long way to go, but I think his dad will train him along the way, and then one day I see him leading the team.
Okay. All right.
It's pretty ambitious, but I like it. Yeah.
I mean, Bronny's got to be, in order, you know, because of all the nepotism they're talking about and stuff like that, Bronny has to be either as good as his dad or even better.
Yeah.
Because,
most definitely.
You know, he's shorter and everything. He's still young. He's still 21, 22. Only very few have come out of high school to, like, go straight into the NBA. You know, LeBron himself, Kobe Bryant, but those are, you know, they're legends.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, because LeBron was, what, like 17, 18?
Yeah, he came out of high school. But, yeah, LeBron, he's got, you know, he's got to really step it up. Well, he's got to fill some big shoes.
What you got to say, Joey?
One thing I wanted to say is if we go back in history, Kobe was drafted at 18 by the Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah, by Charlotte,
same day, Jerry West signed him to the Lakers with Shaq waiting for him. You know, I know a lot about sports, man. You know, that's why I'm Cuban.
Hey, but I thought you were an Angels fan, dude. Why? What's up with you going to Dodger game now? What about our Halos, bro?
Okay, look, man. I'm an Ohtani fan, and it broke my heart that I went to the Dodgers, so I had to make an executive decision like we all do.
I love it, bro. I love it. It's a small price to pay, right? It's a small price to pay. Yeah. That's rad, bro.
Wait, aren't the Angels now Los Angeles Angels too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of Anaheim to Los Angeles.
As a matter of fact, wait, let's talk about Los Angeles in English is the Angels.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. The Angels. So technically we are the OGs. We ought to be anyway.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We stole them.
One question I wanted to ask you is, you know, your parents are Cuban. I'm sure they're extremely proud of you, but explain what they went through just a snippet to get here and stuff. I'm going to discuss with my grandpa what happened to him. So basically when Fidel Castro took over, they took away my grandpa's business. He was a platanero. And Havana, he was called Platanito on the streets of Havana. He had a cart and he would sell bananas. And when Fidel took over, they put him in jail because they said that what he was doing was illegal. And my grandma had to defend him to Mexico by herself with my uncle, and had to wait 2 years for him to join them.
Yeah, so my parents got lucky. So they both, my dad, if I remember correctly, he won, you know, the little lottery that they do so you can come to the United States, and he came legally, and so did my mom. My mom came over legally. So they didn't have to go through that, but because they left right before the revolution and how everything started going down. I still do have family in Cuba, mostly on my dad's side. My mom, there's maybe a couple left, but still a large portion of the family on my dad's side in Cuba who've been there their whole lives and just kind of like stuck there. Mm-hmm. But at least both my parents made it out, you know, in time before everything went down.
Wow.
That's good, that. Man. That's cool.
It's a cool story, bro. I mean, it's, yeah, it, I don't know much about it, so I'm not going to really, you know, throw my two cents. It's not the place and time either. But, you know, what I've learned from Joe and his family's, you know, like stories, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's
like,
a lot
I can't grapple my mind around it.
There's a lot of stories out there. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, you know, story. I still have some family members that have, you know, have escaped and come over here to, you know, the States stuff like that. And just to hear that there's stories about how life is in Cuba, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's nice for the tourists.
Yeah.
It's terrible for the locals.
So,
of course.
You know that Vegas, they say, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that Vegas, that whole story, the reason being was that one of the mobsters that back in the olden days, they had kind of like a gambling thing going down in Havana or somewhere.
Supposedly, my dad told me about that. That back in Cuba, there was a lot of other gangsters would go to Cuba because it was considered the paradise city, paradise island.
Right.
A lot of movie stars would go there during that time. Hemingway loved going to Cuba.
Wow.
Before, you know, Fidel took over and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're at a club, dude.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, you're at the Starbucks. I heard somebody say, you want a latte? I'm like, yeah, dude. Send it over. I was just messing with you, Joey. Yeah, go ahead.
Carlo, I'm just, you know, very shocked because I've been wanting to meet you for a minute.
It'll happen.
Super excited. Well, one time I wanted, another thing I wanted to say is I'm a big fan of your sister too and your brother-in-law.
Thank you.
They're both killing the game in the industry.
They are.
You know, I know Ava, she's a mom, but she's going to get out there soon.
She's the businesswoman, though, right?
Yeah, businesswoman and, you know, family, you know, just, you know, that's number one, taking care of
family, you know.
Kids. Yeah. And, you know, one of the greatest videos I've seen of your brother-in-law is when he did that the Cuban poppy for Saturday
Night Live. Oh, yeah, Saturday Night Live. Yeah, that was hilarious. He hit that on the nose.
That was my favorite, and I'm sure he had training from your dad and you and a bunch of other people.
So, I want to know, did you have anything to do with that?
No, I think more from my dad, but my sister also probably just told him, like, this is how we talk. And he loves Latin culture, and they've been together for a while, so he just, you know, was able to
study. How long have they been together for now?
Good old, I want to say a good 10 years or a little bit longer.
Beautiful. So who wears the pants in the house? Tell the truth.
Oh, I have no idea. And I'm not even getting into that.
We're not even going to talk about
that's something I do not comment on.
But they make a beautiful couple, bro. Yeah. Like, honestly, they do. And yeah, like you said, it's very family oriented. You know, and I think he doesn't even go to, like, parties. Sometimes just he'll go home and be with the family.
No, I mean, he goes to the events that he has to go
but
to.
That's
but
business.
That's it. That's business.
Yeah.
From there, just...
A lot of people don't understand that. You know, a lot of it is work. You know what I mean? You guys go to parties. You guys go to, like, mix. It's part, like, what, you know, part of the deal.
It's a lot of energy you got to put out. Yeah. It's a lot of energy. You know, you get tired, you know. You get tired. You got to reserve that energy. But it's a lot of energy you got to put out. Yeah.
Joe, and I'm really pleased to have you on the show. And I just wanted to say that I'm very happy that I made it possible. And one of these days, you'll probably get to see him in person.
Yeah.
You know? It'll happen, okay?
That would be cool. Hey, I just want to say
you have two more minutes, brother, just so you know. We're almost wrapping up. Not because I want to, but it's just the way the cookie crumbles here. Go ahead. Hello? Joan? I don't know what happened. I think at Starbucks they didn't pay their wife the internet cable. Joan, we'll definitely have to circle back with you later, I hope. You guys, I mean, this has been really awesome. We have a few more minutes.
Hey guys.
Oh, there he is. Sorry. Yeah. My God, dude, I honestly...
What a comeback.
Right? Yeah. Like, hey, guys, I'm back.
Boom, I'm back.
It's got your energy, dude. Yeah. Go ahead, John. Take it away, buddy.
I just want to tell you that I've also have small gigs here and there. I've worked in the industry at Santa Claus during
Santa
Christmas
Claus,
time.
Boy. Oh, very cool, and, man. Yes.
You guys need a Santa Claus?
I know.
We will.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Come out soon. On TV almost, and last year I did it for this rock band in Hollywood. They were up
dude,
and coming,
so
and
very cool.
A couple months down the line, they won a Grammy.
Yeah, they won a Grammy. It was like Grammy week, and then I told the lady, yeah, you know, I have a Santa, my buddy, and they loved him.
Oh,
it was at a Hollywood private party thing. I forget what was the name of the act. Do you used to have an...
It was the String Revolution.
Yeah, it's all musical, like notes, and there's no vocals or anything, but all musical and stuff, instrumental, and it's fantastic. It's really good. Joanne, what is your are your handles? What are your social media handles, bud?
One of my social media is CubaBoy07.
Ah, CubaBoy07. I love it.
You know I had to go with the CubaBoy07.
Of course.
Say it with some conviction, man. And Cuba.
And you know what the number 7 means for us Cubans, so, you know, we got to keep it on that.
Wait, hold on. What does the number 7 mean for Cubans? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
You don't know what the number 7 means, man?
No.
For Cubans? Oh, okay. So my grandma, she's a very, very, she's a believer in San Lázaro.
Ah, that's right.
Y San Lázaro...
Yes. The thing is, out here in LA, I don't hang out with that many Cubans, so I totally forgot. I don't see a San Lázaro out here. When you go back to Miami, there's San Lázaro.
He's repping Mexicans now because he has a Mexican flag tat across his chest.
No, it's on my side of my butt, not on my chest.
I thought that was a butterfly. Hey, bro, I'm really, really stoked that you're on, Joan. Joan, I'm going to have to.
So
go ahead. I'm going to have to let you go, okay? Because we got 2 more minutes. The show's almost over. But guess what?
Okay.
You're immortalized, bro. All of us here. You get it's going to be archived. You get to watch it whenever you want.
Yeah. Hey, Joan, good to talk to you, my man. Happy belated birthday and keep rocking it.
See you soon. Nice meeting
you. You got it.
Keep on rocking the free world. I love you, man. Happy 4th, okay?
Yeah, I love you, too.
All right, brother.
Got it.
All right, man. Dude, it's been a fucking badass show. You guys didn't expect that, huh? I kind of had an idea.
I knew this would be a badass show. You got me on it, so it better be fucking
Wow.
Narcissism. Oh, my God.
I keep forgetting she's there. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
You'll never.
What are your social media handles, Christiana?
It's just my name. Honestly, the biggest one that I've been using lately is my IG. It's my name, Christiana Lucas, but it's spelled funny, LEUCAS.
What's it like working with Mr. Arnold?
Oh, he's amazing.
It's a love, huh? I heard everybody says that.
I love him. He's incredible. He's like a father figure. He's a friend. Yeah. He's a mentor. He's a good person.
You know, I have a story for you.
What?
Years ago, I always had a shit ton of stories. I was a driver. I told you guys. Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver, guys. Yeah. You guys want to catch my pick up a book I authored a while back?
Yeah.
It talks about some of the chronicles of stories of limo driver. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Lighthearted, okay? I drove Robert Englund, who plays Freddy Krueger. And he's, and he, believe it or not, I talk a lot. He talked my ear off all the way to the 25th. This is like the 25th anniversary of the Simpsons in one of the Santa Monica hangars.
Mm.
And they have a huge party. And picture this. Freddy Krueger is in the car with me. And I'm like, dude, is this Claus going to come over? But he's talking about shit that you would like never imagine. He tells me that Robert Englund tells me when he met Arnold, they felt sorry for him because he had an accent. Clearly he was new in town and his name. He said, you're never going to make it with such a last name big, total mouthful and whatnot. But, he obviously beat the odds and look at him, right? He's huge. He said he was already rich before any one of them were rich.
Yeah.
I guess Robert Englund had a film in the 70s or something, like a small part in a film with Arnold.
Uh-huh.
And they all felt sorry for him, being that he came from, he was legal, not legal in the country at the time. And then he was starting out and he already had money because he goes, come to find out, he already owned a couple of the buildings in Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just a whole empire. He goes, this guy's been building and building like over the years. And he said, he's like a really hardworking guy. He starts probably earlier than you, dude.
Yeah.
And the guy is amazing. And I wanted to hear that story, like when you're working. I totally envisioned that.
Mm-hmm.
That he's probably like a father figure, like really nice to give you good advice.
And smart. He's super smart,
sweet,
smart man.
And super strategic, man. Like it was like just sitting for conversation and having him talk about that. Like he talked about how he was a bricklayer when he first got here. And we would all, at the cast, when we were shooting the film, we'd go on bike rides in Santa Monica. He showed me the wall that he built with his own hands.
What?
Yeah, like it's crazy. Like that guy is the American dream. Like the rags to riches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But over time, and that begs the question, let's talk. It's not like some people think like, okay, I know Jay Hernandez's story. Like he grew up in Montebello.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to an elevator and somebody goes, hey, man, you got movie star looks.
Yeah, that's
and
how then, right,
you
Hernandez,
got a card.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Hernandez. Yeah. But does it happen for everybody like that? I mean, you guys are, working.
I'm actors. Still waiting for my break. So.
Yeah.
Same
how do you
here.
Feel? Yeah. It's like a constant grind, right? Like you just got to keep putting in the time.
Yeah, you just got to keep putting in the time, keep getting better, keep hustling, working hard, and believing, and just be prepared. Yeah.
Don't stop believing?
Don't stop believing.
Wow, I love it. What do you guys do for 4th of July?
Work.
Yeah, what about you?
I got to work at the bar.
Yeah. So what bar do you – I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I don't want a bunch of people stalking you.
Oh, ain't nobody going to be stalking you.
Hey, dude, I like that bar, by the way.
Yeah.
I like the bar because, dude, don't they have people doing some fucking amazing stuff in the bar? Like,
yeah, so it's a burlesque bar. It's called La Descarga. It's a Cuban bar made out to be on Cuba. It was back in the 50s. Burlesque,
I know that.
Burlesque dancing, live music, with DJ. And it's made, it looks like old school Cuba, like it would be, Cuba.
Yeah.
Like when my dad walked in, he's like, this is how my old house used to look like.
Or no shit, like really?
Yeah. Very often.
Do you have contortionists? Is that right? No, not that.
No, burlesque dancers, not contortionists.
Oh, just, okay.
Yeah. Burlesque.
So that's like Harvel's. Harvel's has burlesque too.
Yeah, Harvel's, yes, I knew about that. I had never been there for that.
No.
But I remember hearing about that. I was invited years ago.
Tom Sizemore's spirit resides in there, dude. He loved that place.
Yeah, well, that's the exact
place. That was the last place he was at. He enjoyed Harvel's. He always loved Harvel's. So God rest his soul, and I'm super like, beyond, I mean, excited to have both of you. I didn't expect, obviously, Miss Christiana and Lucas for you to bring her along. I know you guys were fighting all the way over here. But
she tagged along.
Yeah, it was so, thank you so much for coming along.
I was studio audience and brought into this.
I mean, and you had no idea. But I got a 2-for-1 special, so I'm happy. I'm excited and thrilled. And for all you guys watching, this Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mesa. You guys could look me up. Jim Francis Mesa. You could Google me and just don't follow me, please. Don't stalk me. I got 2 people that are going to take care of you guys if you do such things. No, but I'm really, really happy once again of you guys coming on the show. Carlos Mendez, is that how you appear on your social media?
So my real name is Carlos Mendez, but my stage name is Carlo.
You're never going to believe what I'm about to tell you. It's going to blow your fucking mind. You're Carlos Alberto Mendez.
Yeah.
I have a friend named Carlos Alberto Mendez who's a documentary maker. He's a filmmaker. You probably know of him.
He's
part of the DACA movement. And he's worked with Eugenio Lopez, Eugenio Derbez. He's worked with a lot of people in the industry.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Carlos Alberto Mendez. So it's funny, dude, because
yeah,
it's awesome.
I remember Googling my name like 10, 11, 12 years ago, and a lot of Carlos Mendez came up. That's why my management was like, let's try Carlo Mendez for a while. And then it's worked out.
You guys can also check out our other, this was a much better show. No, I'm kidding. The other show we have on, it's a Jim and James Morning Podcast, where we featured Carlo Mendez on that as well with my boy, James Walsh. Yeah. I just want to thank you both again. Wow. Super gracious to have you both on. Thank you so much for making this possible. And obviously you saw what happened here, right? You know, it's awesome. You know, Joanne's completely. I know he's not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
You know, he had a good chat with you, and that was his birthday present. And anything else you guys want to say before we close the show?
No, thank you for having us. I appreciate it. Anytime you want to have me again, just let me know.
You sure? Because the last time you said, dude, I'm on a flight. Bro, I'm about to board a flight. Sorry. You missed me. No. I know you will. So thank you, and I know you're just a phone call away, brother.
Exactly.
All right. Take care, guys. That's been our show. Thank you. Hope you guys liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, he killed it.
That was fun. That was fun.
Right? Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mesa. Only on LA Talk Radio.
It's easy when you're doing a job like this. You know, great job.